We're in Numbers chapter 28, so we're going verse by verse through the Old Testament. And remember, in this section now, the Israelites are about to enter into the promised land. And it's the second generation of the Israelites, remember, because the first generation had perished in the wilderness, and it was because of their lack of faith. They didn't trust the Lord when they got to the promised land the first time to go in. And in this section now, before they go into the land, the Lord is going to remind them of the sacrifices and the offerings. And they're going to need to continue to do these every day to be acceptable to Him. And the Lord's going to go through them. And we've been through these in great detail. So we're not going to dissect them today as we go through the sacrifices that are mentioned there. I'm going to read through and make some comments just as we go through. But we're not going to go through it in super detail like we did before when we studied them. But we need to notice a couple things as we look at this passage. And it'll stand out as we get in there and look at it. But pay attention to how many sacrifices were required. I mean, there's a great number of them, and there's a reason for that. And when we stop and ask that question, Lord, why are there so many sacrifices? It's because we need them, you know? That's just how sinful we are. When you see this, and Lord keeps saying over and over and over again, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. It's not because the Lord needs it, it's because we need it, okay? We're the ones that, it's just how sinful we are. So it's a good reminder to us, you know. A lot of times we think better of ourselves than we should in that sense. We're easy to compare ourselves to other people and say, well, I'm not as bad as them. But the Lord made everybody bring these sacrifices because we're all sinners, okay? So we're not free from that. So think about this too. Each sacrifice that is mentioned, each one of them, is a picture of mercy, of God extending His mercy. And it's also a time of new beginning for the folks. And that's the same thing that happens to us too. When we confess to the Lord as believers and we get cleansed, the Lord is offering us that new mercy again, and we're in a new state. The Lord gives us a new beginning. Okay? And these are good things to remind us of as you look at these. I'm going to try to point out some things too to help us remind ourselves of some stuff as we look at some of these. Now the Lord tells us that His mercies are new every morning. And that is so cool because we need them every morning, you know. So when you wake up in the morning, you woke up this morning as you came to your conscious state. I don't know if the thought hits you or not, but God was giving new mercies for today. And even when we mess up and we have to say, Lord, I messed up. I got in the flesh here and I'm confessing that to you. The Lord says, I got more mercy, and He gives more mercy, you know. And we're so thankful that He's able to extend new mercies all the time. Let's look at the passage here, Numbers 28, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them. So here's the command the Lord is giving. And pay attention to how He says this, because it's really interesting. He says, my offering, my food for my offerings, made by fire, as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. Now you notice all the me's and the my's in here, right? As He's saying, it's my offering, my food, my offerings. It's a sweet aroma to me. Make sure you're careful to offer them to me at their appointed time. I mean, very heavy emphasis on this, because the offerings, the sacrifices, they belong to the Lord. Okay, they are His and they are due to Him. Okay. We're just not, they weren't just doing these sacrifices and throwing up to the wind. They were making them to the Lord, because He's the one that these are due to Him. And I see this kind of interesting as a part of a loving relationship. We won't turn there right now, but I'll quote this for you. The 1 Corinthians 7:3 talks about the marriage relationship. And it says there, it says talking about that love relationship within marriage. It says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. And it says, and likewise also the wife to her husband. And when we'll put ourselves back here for a second in these the shoes of these folks, when they were making these offerings to the Lord, it was due Him because of a love relationship. That, Lord, I want to have a relationship with You, and I know the only way to do that is for me to get clean from my sin so I can have a relationship with You. So they were to be doing these out of love. And that is so important to get, because when we read through the history of the Old Testament here, we find out the people made it just a ritual. It's just something I got to do. But the motive is supposed to be love, that I want to know the Lord. I want to walk with the Lord. You know, and God gave that to them so he could have a love relationship with them. He wanted them to be cleansed. Remember, we saw that in Leviticus, very heavy. He said, I am holy, so you be holy. Because he wants to have fellowship with people. He wants to be with his creation. But there's a big problem between us, and that's sin that has to be dealt with, has to be cleansed. Okay? So giving these sacrifices and offerings to the Lord were part of that loving relationship that the Lord wanted to have with his people. Like I said, unfortunately, the folks didn't see it that way. They kind of made it into just a ritual or some box they had to check off, you know. And that's a danger for all of us, because unfortunately, I don't think people understand that's the same thing with receiving Christ, too. That they don't understand that that's a relationship you're going to have with the Lord. It's an opportunity to be connected with your Creator. You know, a connection that was broke way back when Adam and Eve sinned. So if you want to have a loving relationship with the Creator, and that's why every single person was created, then we have to come the way the Lord tells us to come, and that, of course, is through Jesus Christ. But don't forget, God wants to have that relationship with every single person, because the Bible says he desires that none should perish. Yeah, and you know, it's easy, like I said, for us to overlook this issue of love and think, well, it's just there's a problem here. We got to fix the problem, and let's just fix it and go on. But it's a relationship issue that needs to be dealt with, and it's a love thing. Okay. Now think about these people here when they brought the right sacrifice. We're going to look at these a little bit, but just some thoughts as we get into this. When the people brought the right sacrifice, the one that God said you have to bring, and he describes it. Okay. When they did that, God was satisfied with the sacrifice they brought. Okay, so the people were supposed to learn that the right sacrifice is sufficient. Okay, and that's real important when we chew on this a little bit. Because look how this ties together. Remember, every sacrifice that we look at in the Old Testament, every one of them represents Jesus. Okay, so God the Father is satisfied with the right sacrifice, which is ultimately his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is sufficient. You know, he said on the cross, it is finished. He did it all, okay, taken care of. So when we say that Jesus has paid for my sins, as we were singing this morning, we're saying he's good enough to do that. He was the one who could take care of it. He's sufficient. He's good enough, okay? When we accept Jesus as our sacrifice, then we're supposed to rest in the fact that God is truly satisfied with that sacrifice that we brought, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which means he fully accepts us. He truly accepts us in Christ, okay? It isn't like we just barely made it, but if you're in Christ, you're fully there, okay? So remember, Jesus said this, no man comes to the Father except through me. So if you come through Jesus, then he is your sacrifice. And then you do come to the Father, and when you do that, he fully accepts you because you brought the right sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. There's no other way to come. You have to have that sacrifice, okay? Now, picture this back in the days of Numbers as we're looking at our passage here. And a person might say this, Lord God, Yahweh, I want to come to you. Okay, so the Lord's response would be, then just bring the right sacrifice. Okay, you bring the right sacrifice I explained to you and you'll be able to come. And the Lord gave great detail in his word as to the right sacrifice. I mean, when we read through these, a lot of times it's tedious. We're thinking, oh my goodness, why so much detail? It's because it had to be the right sacrifice to come, you know. So, Lord, help us not to get, you know, bothered by the details because they're so tedious at times for us. But to realize God's saying, I'm telling you the perfect way to come. There's only one way, and it's the way that I say. So if they learn that, you know, that it's got to be just the way God said, then when the Messiah comes on the scene and says it's got to be through me, there should be a hearty amen. It's got to be through him because God said this is the way, and he's taught us to trust him, that his way is the right way, okay? So the person could rest assured that if he did exactly what God required, then he would be accepted in God's presence. And boy, we get out of this, these sacrifices, it's all about Jesus. It's all pointing to him. You know, it's not anything else. It has nothing to do with us other than us saying we want to bring the right sacrifice. That's as far as it goes, as far as we're concerned, okay? Now think about this too. What if a person back then said, well, I'm going to add something else to the sacrifice that I think needs to be there. Okay, even though God gave all these details, that they're going to say, well, I'm going to add something else. Would God accept that sacrifice? The answer is no. Okay? Because they wouldn't be trusting God when he said, this is the right sacrifice that's required. See, it's a trust issue. Either you're believing God or you're not. If God says this is what it takes, and you say, well, I know that, but I think I need to add something else to it. Now you're trying to improve on what God gave us, which is already perfect. So you're saying basically that the sacrifice he told you to bring isn't good enough. Okay? So think about this from God's perspective. Okay? If a person back then would try to say, I'm going to add baptism to the sacrifice. Now, I'm going to do the sacrifice, but I think I need to do a baptism along with it. And then God will accept me. Okay? What about if they said, well, we got to go around hitting rocks. Because that's what God told Moses to do. God told Moses to hit that rock. So we got to go around and we got to hit some rocks. Because God commanded Moses to do that. Okay? So we can do that too. Well, that's like somebody adding the Ten Commandments to the gospel message of trusting Christ alone. You know, we've got to be so careful. And I hesitate in saying this about going around hitting rocks because somebody will probably, if I say it too loud, somebody will get that and it'll be on the internet as a new teaching out there and stuff. So no, that's a crazy false teaching. We don't need to add any more to that, all right? But that's the picture. I mean, we can look back here and say, that'd be foolish to do something like that. But we got people today that are doing the exact same thing, trying to add to the gospel message of Christ, okay? Now, you notice here in verse 2, it mentions this, as this offering made by fire, it says, is a sweet aroma to the Lord. Okay? So that's the picture of their sacrifice being acceptable to the Lord. And I mentioned this before, some of you guys heard me say this, but every time I think of this, as it mentions this sweet aroma, it's like the smell of barbecue. You know? You know how that is when you walk out of your house and you don't know the neighbor's barbecue and it just hits you? It's like, ooh, wow, that's good. You know, and I had that the other day. I walked out of the shop there at work, and the restaurant down the road had barbecue, and the wind was blowing the right direction. And, ooh, yeah, that really hits you. And you go, oh, that is good stuff, you know. And that's the picture I have when I think about this, these sacrifices going to the Lord, that sweet aroma that comes to him. It's the same, oh, that's good stuff. You know, so when the people did the sacrifice the way the Lord described it, that's the response of the Lord. Isn't that cool? Now, come down to verse 3 here, and it says, and you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering. Okay, so the Lord mentions here, again, that regular offering that's going to take place, and he's going to describe it a little further here, but he's going to keep bringing this up too. It's got to be without blemish. They've got to be the best, because it's a picture of Jesus, and he was without sin. So we've got to be careful to keep that picture the same. Verse 4, the one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer in the evening. So the priest would be offering this sacrifice in the morning, and the sacrifice in the evening. And he goes on to describe the detail of it. 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place you shall pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening. As the morning grain offering and its drink offering, you shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now remember that burnt offering, because we're going to see that come up quite a bit here. The burnt offering is an offering of dedication to the Lord. So when they brought that animal, it was burned up completely. And the picture of that was, I'm giving myself completely to you, Lord. I'm not holding anything back. I'm not keeping anything for me. I'm saying, Lord, I give you everything and I give it to you completely. Okay? Now, this was a complete dedication to the Lord, and they did it in the morning, and they did it in the evening. Okay, so twice a day, they practiced this. Now, think about that if you were in that area, okay? Every morning, every evening, that sacrifice was made. So if you were outside, you would smell barbecue in the morning, and you'd smell barbecue in the evening, you know? And you knew every day you were going to have that when you got up, we had that later on. So if you picture these times that they offered their sacrifices to the Lord, picture them as our daily time that we spend with the Lord, okay? And I started practicing a while back trying to have a morning devotion and an evening devotion. And the reason was because of these sacrifices they did in the morning and in the evening, you know. And I tell you what, it's a really good discipline to get into, because you're starting the day with the Lord, and then before you get to bed, you're turning your thoughts back to the Lord, away from the busyness of the day, and just having that time just to focus, just you and the Lord, get alone with Him. And that's just what I practice, and it's a real blessing, I can tell you, to do that. So imagine this picture here, okay? To the Lord now, based on the description we see of these sacrifices, it would be that sweet-smelling aroma to Him, okay? So if we could imagine our day we start out, as we have our time with the Lord, that it's a sweet-smelling aroma to Him. For you to start out the day with the Lord and say, Lord, I dedicate my life to you today. I give my life to you. And then before we go to bed, Lord, I give this night to you. I give it to you. That's a sweet thing to the Lord. He loves to hear us do that, you know, because that's really what we were designed for, to have that life of worship for the Lord. That's what it's all about. But imagine now if we had that based, if the Lord would kind of open our spiritual nostrils to smell right now, how our devotion time has been with the Lord, just the people in the room today, okay? We wonder, what would it be more like? Would it be filled with the sweet smell of that aroma to the Lord? Or would it be more the dirty stench of selfishness? You know, because you think about this, if we're not open to the Lord, then we're living for ourselves, right? And so let me add a flavor to that smell, just to help you out as we think about this. Dirty stench of selfishness. And I'm hoping this will stick in our senses so we think about this. Think about the smell of burning tires. If you've smelt those before, woo, that'll get your attention too, right? The barbecue does, but that'll do it. Also, the burning of electrical wiring will get your attention. You know, we had somebody last week that had an issue with their furnace. There was a smell they woke up to that morning, which was electrical wire burning, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know. And that stuff's intentional, that would alert you before something gets worse. So if you have those two comparisons, okay, and if, like I said, the Lord opened our nostrils to smell, would we have more of the smell in our room here, you think, of our time spent this past week with the Lord? You think it would be overwhelming with the smell of the sweet aroma, or would it smell like burnt tires, you know, that burnt rubber? I don't know. I'm just saying, just to think about that. Like I said, I want to get that in our thinking, because we have a choice every day. You know, do I want to honor you, Lord? You know, or do I rather just say, Lord, I want to live for me today? You know, and that's a choice we have. And it does apparently have an aroma to the Lord one way or the other. Do we have a sticky life or a sweet-smelling life before the Lord? Okay. Now, to be honest with you, as I told you, I try to practice the two times a day. It's been said that a pious Jew would have three times of prayer each day, and that's based on Psalm 55, verse 17, because it says this, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." And you read in the scriptures, like Daniel, he apparently kept that prayer time, you know, that three times. And I love the way it's mentioned in Psalm 55, and you kind of only get that if you've studied the Old Testament a little bit here, because it says, in the evening, in the morning, and at noon. Now, where does the day begin for the Israelites? It begins in the evening, right? Going back to the day of creation. So at the beginning of their day, the evening, and then in the morning, and then at noon. And those were the three times they would apparently practice if they were very serious about the Lord. So that's encouraging to think about that one too. Now, when the burnt offerings were given in here, it's a picture of their giving their life completely to the Lord on a daily basis, because it was morning and evening every day. Okay, so it was a daily reminder. So as you know, as believers now, we're supposed to give our life to the Lord daily too. Remember, Jesus said we're to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. And that's the same picture of us saying, Lord, I want to follow you today. I don't want to follow my selfish desires. I want to follow you and have a life that's that sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. So just know that when we give our life to Him daily, that's a sweet smell to the Lord. Okay, so that's a really cool thing. Now, let's dig in here a little further. In verse 9, we'll go through some more of this. On the Sabbath day, so this is now, that was the regular burnt offering that happened every day. Now, the Sabbath offerings, there's a little bit different here. In verse 9, on the Sabbath day, two lambs in their first year without blemish, 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour is a grain offering mixed with oil with its drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. Okay, so on the Sabbath day there would be extra animals to be offered here. Verse 11, at the beginning of your month, this is now the monthly offering he's going to talk about, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord. That's in addition to the regular morning and evening. Two young bulls, one ram, seven lambs in their first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour, a grain offering mixed with oil for each bull. 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour is a grain offering mixed with oil for one ram. 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for each lamb, as a burnt offering of sweet aroma, to offering an offering made by fire to the Lord. Their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, 1/3 of a hin for a ram, 1/4 of a hin for a lamb. That is the burnt offering for each month throughout the months of the year. Also, one kid of the goats as a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. Now, aren't you glad we don't live in the Old Testament and have to do all this stuff in such detail and everything? And the reason now, again, the Lord has them do it this precise, it's to learn, because every part of that talks about Jesus. We looked at that before, but it's to learn that when God says, when I send the Messiah and I tell you this is him, there should be no doubt as if God says this is the only way, then this is the only way. And praise the Lord, he made a way. Because without that, you don't have that. Okay? And even now with these people here, is the Lord is giving them direction how to get their sin dealt with for a year. Okay, we get up to the Day of Atonement there. He's giving them the opportunity to be able to have fellowship with God. You just can't do that in the world back here in the Old Testament. There's how do you come to God when there's that sin that's lying between you and him? Okay? So it's amazing the Lord made a way for them to come. And again, this all is because sin is so wicked. That's how messed up we are. That there has to be all of these sacrifices and offerings and desires to come to the Lord and get right with him. That's because we're so messed up. Now it goes on to verse 16. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And this remembers them being rescued from Egypt by the Lord. On the 15th day of this month is a feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. And that's the feast of unleavened bread that the Lord had them celebrate as a reminder that when they left the land, they had to leave in a hurry and they didn't have time for the bread to rise. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. Now, this is interesting, too. On the Sabbath day, they were not allowed to do any work at all. Nothing, okay? And that was a reminder back to creation that God rested on the seventh day, and he wants us to come to a place of rest. And now, in the New Testament, Jesus is our Sabbath. So we have rest in him for eternity because Jesus did all the work for us on the cross, okay? Now here, it says, on this offering at the Passover, you shall do no customary work. And I think the idea there is more of no profit-making work, okay? So you're allowed to make, you're allowed to cook your meals, you're allowed to do things like that, but you can't do anything that would be a work day, you know, where you're going to make any profit off of this. And it's interesting the way the Lord makes a separation between the days here. He says in verse 19, you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord, and every one of those burnt offerings is an offering of dedication, okay? Two young bulls, one ram, seven lambs in the first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Again, it's got to be the picture of Christ. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah you shall offer for a bull and 2/10 for a ram. You shall offer 1/10 of an ephah for each of the seven lambs. Also, one goat is a sin offering to make atonement for you. So the sin offering keeps coming up, and the sin offering was to cover their sin. That's what the word atonement meant. Okay? Now, as we look at this, like I said, it's kind of tedious for us to read through. But one thing to remind yourself is that the Lord said this is the exact way you have to come. So we need to learn there is an exact way to come and get that buried in us. So when we hear somebody say, well, I think there are many ways to God. You say, no, there's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that himself. And the Old Testament backs all of that up. Okay, so even though these things are so tedious, it's to try to get that lesson across. And all the elements of this, too, point at all the different aspects of Christ and how he fulfilled this for us. So I get from this, too, you know, that it shows us how really wicked sin is and how messed up we are, that the Lord Jesus had to do so much to get us right with God. We might take it kind of flippant that, okay, yeah, he went to the cross and he died, paid for my sins, okay. There was so much involved in that. When you read these Old Testament details of all of this, all of that was working in the salvation process. Jesus was fulfilling all of these things for us. He was the bread. He was the bread of life that came down. He brought the oil of the Holy Spirit. You know, all of these things are part of the salvation process. There was a lot that happened. So don't get upset by the tediousness. But, and a lot of guys, they jump past this passage, but you might be saying, well, I wish we kind of go a little quicker too. But think about this. They're going into the promised land. And the Lord's saying, I need you to stay right with me as you're going into this thing. You need to stay sharp. So you're gonna need to keep all these sacrifices. You're literally going into the enemy's territory. So you need to be sharp. For us, the promised land is walking in the Spirit-filled life, where we're saying, Lord, I'm giving my life to you, and I'm asking you to empower me by your Spirit. And I receive that, Lord, that you want to fill me with your Spirit. I just ask you to use me for your glory. And as we're doing that, we're entering the enemy's territory too. Okay, and Lord wants us to stay sharp. So if he thought they needed that, I thought maybe we need this too. So we better pay attention to this, okay? Now verse 23, you shall offer these besides the burnt offering of the morning. So he adds more sacrifices on particular days. And he said that burnt offering of the morning is the regular burnt offering. In this manner you shall offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for 7 days as a sweet aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. And on the seventh day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. So the Lord makes it clear when they're to take this rest and how much rest they're supposed to take. And he just draws it very plain and in a lot of detail for them to get this. Now, don't you think it's interesting? It's kind of sad to me that the Lord has to keep saying, oh, this is besides the regular offering. Because you can see him say, oh, we don't have to do the regular one today. We'll just do this other one. The Lord knows us. We'll look for shortcuts sometimes to our own detriment, you know. So we got to be careful when the Lord tells us something in great detail. There's a reason that he says it the way he does. Verse 26, also on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord. 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in their first year with their grain offering, a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for 1 ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, also 1 kid of the goats to make atonement for you. Be sure they are without blemish. Again, don't have any defects in them because Jesus had no defect of sin in him. You shall present them with their drink offerings besides the regular burnt offering with its grain offering. Boy, how'd you like to show up and say, where's the goat? Who forgot the goat? You didn't bring the goat. We got to go back and get that. You know what I mean? Amazing detail. It goes on in the next chapter 29, verse 1. We have offerings at the Feast of Trumpets here in the 7th month. So the Lord is really laying out this calendar for him, if you notice. And he's saying, mark your calendars. Here's what you got to do here and here and here and here. In the 7th month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And then he describes it, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 7 lambs in the first year without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, also 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you, besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon, the regular burnt offering with this grain offering and their drink offerings, according to their ordinance, as a sweet aroma and offering made by fire to the Lord. Again, a whole lot of stuff here. Then we have the Day of Atonement, and that's in verse 7. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls, which appears to be a time of fasting. You shall not do any work. You shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 7 lambs in their first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for 1 ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, also 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides a sin offering for atonement, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and the drink offerings. Aren't you thankful Jesus did all of this for us, you know? Like I said, it's extremely tedious when you look through this. Then we have the Feast of Tabernacles on verse 12. The 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation and do no customary work. You shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year. They shall be without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs. Also, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. Now, in their culture too, how much do you think it would cost to provide all these animals? I mean, this is expensive stuff, right? I mean, this is costly for them to do that. And we mentioned this before too, but as they're really taking of their stuff here to give it to the Lord as an offering, in that they're saying, we trust you, Lord, that you're going to take care of us, even though we're giving you the best, okay? Now, the sad thing is, as we think through the Old Testament history again, they never kept up with the system too much. They never really carried through with much of this, okay? I mean, it's sad, but they would get in a role doing the ritual thing for some time, and then they kind of let it fade and let it slip and let it slide and it just be a mess, okay? And again, I think they missed the motive. This is because of a love relationship you want to have with the Lord. You know, that's why it's worth doing all these things. And you think, as we mentioned, you know, I'm supposed to deny myself, take up my cross daily, and follow the Lord. I don't know if I want to do that either. Well, you know what? If you have a love for the Lord, you want to do that because you want to say, Lord, I want to be as close to you as I can. You know? As you meet somebody, you fall in love with somebody, you bend over backwards for them, right? I mean, you do whatever you can for that person. And that's the picture of us in our love for the Lord. And Lord, whatever you tell me, I'll do whatever it takes. I mean, if that's what you want, then that's what I'll do. And the Lord is saying, well, I want you to be a living sacrifice for me. And I'd like you to do that. And that's what Romans 12 tells us, you know. Give your life as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And he didn't make that a command. He just put that out there for us to have an option to get that close to him. You know? So it's cool if we step up and say, Lord, I want that. I want to have a close walk with you. Verse 17, on the second day, present 12 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs, by their number according to the ordinance. Also, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and their drink offering. On the third day, present 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, their grain offering, their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, 1 goat is a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the fourth day, present 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering, and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs, by their number, according to their ordinance. Also, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the fifth day, present 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their year. And I'll spare you some of this because it just goes on and on with all these extra ones that are added and added and added and added, you know. And like I said, it sounds kind of tedious on us, but the Lord blesses us even for getting into his word. He says, I'm cleansing you as you're getting in the word. That's a cleansing work that the Lord does. So hang in there with some of this. It mentions, too, in verse 35, on the eighth day, you shall have a sacred assembly, meaning a very solemn assembly. And it says, you shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering, their drink offerings for the bull, for the ram, for the lambs by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, 1 goat as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offerings. Now, verse 39, these you shall present to the Lord at your appointed feast. So the Lord said, I've given you all of this. This is your yearly calendar of sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. And he said, you shall present these to the Lord at your appointed feast, besides your vowed offerings and your free will offerings. Now, imagine on top of this. You made a vow to the Lord and you wanted to step up and do an extra sacrifice for that, you could. And if you said, I just want to give a free will offering to the Lord, I just want to have, you know, Lord, I just appreciate so much what you've done in my life and I just want to give you another one. So you bring more animals and more sacrifices to the Lord. You're free to do that. Amazing. Okay? It's just an amazing picture, though, of if you don't get that as you think about this, what lies between us and God because of our sin, it's death. And they saw a whole lot of death of these animals all the time, every day. And it's because that's what happened because of sin. Remember Adam and Eve's sin in the garden? Lord had to kill an animal there to make skins to cover them, because now between man and God, there is death. And that is so sad. It was never intended that way. It was only to be life between man and God. But after the fall, Romans 12 tells us that when Adam sinned, he brought death into the world. And now that's what lies between us. So when you see this picture of death, death, death of these animals, Lord's getting a very strong picture of that too, that that's what it takes now to come to God. We brought death on ourselves, and now it's going to take a death of a perfect sacrifice to get us back to him again. And that's why Jesus came, to be that perfect sacrifice. Okay? So Moses told the children of Israel everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. So Moses gave this whole list to these people, and they got to hear it all again. Okay? Now let's go further here, because there's more on this. Chapter 30, verse 1. Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel. He said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded." Now this may sound unusual too as you're getting into this, but there's a reason for this too. If a man makes a vow to the Lord, or he swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all the proceeds out of his mouth. Okay, so the Lord is giving these directions, and he mentions here a vow to the Lord or swearing an oath. And there's a distinction between them. The vow to the Lord is something you promise to do for the Lord. An oath is something you promise not to do again. Okay, so that would be the description of both of these here. And the Lord says that you shall not break your word if it's a man. Now, it's talking to the man. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. So the point of breaking a vow then is a bad testimony. So the Lord's making it very clear that he wants his people, if they're going to say something, then they're going to follow through with it. And that's because their God is like that. Okay? So when they come into this land filled with pagans, and they're doing their wheeling and scheming that they're doing in that land, he doesn't want his people to be like that. There's all kinds of wickedness going on in the promised land as they're coming in there. And he wants his people to be holy, meaning set apart, so they don't look like the rest of the world. So we get a lot from this. Now think about this too, okay? Who's the one that kept the vow for us? It was Jesus Christ. And he's not going to break his vow. When he made a covenant with the Father, he's never going to break that covenant. So praise the Lord. If you're in the new covenant, you are so safe in Christ, because he's not going to break it. Isn't that awesome? Then it goes on in verse 3, or if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow in the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father holds his peace, so he doesn't say anything, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement with which she has bound herself shall stand. So the father here is in a high place of responsibility in this picture the Lord shows us. And this goes through to the New Testament. It doesn't change with culture like some of us. We're in cultures where sometimes the women have the upper hand and everything. And the Lord's direction is he designed us, and how things work the correct way is the man has a heavy responsibility in leadership. Heavy responsibility. Okay, that's something God puts on us. Regardless of what the culture says around us, we're responsible to lead as the Lord calls us to. And it does go against our nature at times. A lot of times we'd like to just sit back and let everybody else do it, you know. But the Lord says no. So if the daughter makes a vow and the dad doesn't say anything, then his silence means consent, what it comes across as. Now think about this too. Because in our culture, we're being told very heavily not to say anything. Okay? We're told that we're supposed to be very, very tolerant. You know where that's making its way? Into the home, too. That we're going to be very, very tolerant of everything going on. We're not going to say anything. We don't want to make waves and everything, you know. That responsibility is still there with us. It hasn't changed. God still says you need to be, the father needs to be in charge of taking the responsibility of what's going on in that home. Now, this is extremely important to the Lord, because look what it says in verse 5. But if her father overrules her on the day that he hears it, then none of her vows nor agreements by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will release her because her father overruled her. Okay? Now again, this responsibility goes on to dad. Because if dad says, wait a minute, what you're agreeing to is not good. I'm stepping in here and telling you this is wrong and this is not going to happen. I'm breaking this vow that you have made. The Lord says that will stand. Because the father's supposed to be looking out for the daughter, right? So if he sees her doing something or making this thing while she's living in the home, he's got to step in and say something. And it says the Lord will release her then. There'll be grace there, okay? Verse 6, if indeed she takes a husband while bound by her vows or by a rash utterance from her lips by which she bound herself, and her husband hears it and makes no response to her on that day that he hears, and already said she made a rash utterance, okay? Then her vows shall stand, and her agreements by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband overrules her on that day, okay, so it says the Lord says the husband is responsible here again to lead. If he overrules on the day that he hears it, he shall make void her vow which she took, and what she uttered with her lips by which she bound herself, and the Lord will release her. Okay, so there's a safety net here for the ladies on this side, that the husband is actually responsible for these decisions that are made. And if he doesn't say anything, the Lord's going to hold him accountable for that. Okay? Verse 9, also any vow of a widow or a divorced woman by which she has bound herself shall stand against her. So she's the head of her home, and the Lord says, you now have that responsibility, and what you say will stand. So you got to be real careful in making vows. And that's the point of all this. Be careful making vows, because the Lord will hold you to that. Somebody was talking about Peter. You remember when Peter told Jesus, when Jesus told him what was going to take place and everything, Peter said, I'll never let that happen to you. I'll die for you. Remember when he made that kind of a statement to the Lord? You know, Peter did die for the Lord. You know, he was put on a cross upside down to die for the Lord. The Lord held him to that vow. So be careful when you vow things, because the Lord holds us responsible when we say stuff. It's really important to him. Okay? So if her husband made no response and didn't overrule her, then everything, that every vow shall stand, every agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. Verse 12, but if her husband truly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatever proceeded from her lips concerning her vows or concerning the agreement binding her, it shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will release her. Now this is, ladies, there's a good side of this for you too, thinking maybe you're in the bad place. This forces your husband to listen to you, okay? So he's my cord. Finally, you'll get a chance that the husband's supposed to pay attention. We have a hard time with that, as you know. But the Lord says here, you're responsible for these decisions. Verse 13, every vow and every binding oath to afflict her soul, her husband may confirm it, or her husband may make it void. Now, if her husband makes no response whatever to her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows or all the agreements that bind her. So if he never says anything, then everything she does is binding here. He confirms them because he made no response to her on the day that he heard them. But if he does make them void after he has heard them, then he shall bear her guilt. So he's the one that's going to be bearing the guilt for this stuff, and he better be wise in praying. Lord, help me to follow your direction on this, okay? And again, don't see this as a bad thing. This is just putting the weight on guys. We're called to be leaders, spiritual leaders in the home. And the danger is, if you go back to the creation story and see the fall of Adam and Eve, Eve was tempted to lead. That's what the Lord said. Your desire is for your husband, which meant your desire is to rule over him. And it says, but he will rule over you. So the Lord has given the role of leadership and responsibility to man, based on the account that Adam was created first and then Eve. And it's easy for us guys to say, well, if you ladies want to do it, we'll just step aside and let you do it. And Lord says, that's not the way it's supposed to work. The husband is supposed to submit to the Lord in leading, and then the wife is supposed to submit to the husband as he leads. All right? And that does cause ladies to have to pray a lot too. Lord, please help this guy get some sense about him and do things the right way. So that's a good thing. It leads you to prayer, right? There's not a bad thing on that one. All right? Verse 16. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, and between a father and his daughter in her youth in her father's house. Now again, think about this. Who is our father who watches over us? Praise the Lord. He's perfect. He's perfect. And if we're wise, before we make a vow, we'll say, Father, I want to make this vow. I want to make sure it's what you want. I want to make sure it's the wisest, best thing to do, that it's your will and not my will. You know, who's the husband of the church, the body of Christ? It's Jesus. So before we make any vows as believers, Jesus, we just pray you give us wisdom. Help us to make your decisions, not our decisions. And if there's something that needs to be voided, please void it before we mess it up, right? So, yeah, this all points to Jesus. He is our groom. The Lord is our Father. And praise the Lord, he keeps us, and he pays for every single debt that we have. And we just praise the Lord for that, okay? All right, thanks for hanging in there with this study here, because I know it was a bit tedious as going through that, but there's so many blessings in here. It's all pointing to Jesus, every bit of it. You can study that in detail more, and just see all the parts of the sacrifices, how it all talks about him, how much the Lord loves us. He watches over us. He wants us to make wise choices and wise decisions. And it's just an awesome thing that the Lord cares that much about us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, it's a simple thing. We're going to stop at this point for our study. But the good news is that the gospel is simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, the Bible says. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. So God loves you. Just believe Jesus came from God. He took your sin. He died in your place and he rose again. It's that simple to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Excuse me. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I just praise you for the time you took to put all this down for us thousands of years ago that we might pay attention and be prepared as you call us to go into the promised land. Father, we need to be spirit-filled in this world. We need to be that way so we can serve you more efficiently, better, Lord, working by your power and not our own. If anyone is here today, Lord, and they've never humbled themselves before you to receive Christ, I pray today you'd help them say, I need you, Jesus. I want to bring the perfect sacrifice to God. I want to bring Jesus as my offering. And I just thank you, Lord, that you made that possible. And Father, for anybody here today who has never humbled himself as a believer to say, please fill me with your spirit, Lord. Take my life this day and every day for the rest of my days and use it for your glory. And Lord, I just receive that in Christ. For anyone who hasn't done that, I pray today you help them, Lord, to get past their pride, get past any selfishness that might be holding them back. And just say, Lord, I give you my life. I need you. I need you to take this life and use it for your glory. That when we come to the end of our days, we won't have to look back and say, Lord, I never served you. I never did anything for you. Help us, Lord, to have that tender heart that you can work on us and lead us and guide us. Help us to have good ears to hear. Thank you, Father, for the work you're doing. We give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.